Welcome back to Skincare Made Simple, the podcast where we simplify the overly complicated world of skincare so that you can achieve all of your skin goals, the clear, healthy, beautiful skin that you deserve. I am your host, Ella, and I'm a licensed esthetician and acne specialist and fellow acne-prone girly myself. I have personally dealt with acne since I started my period when I was 13 years old. And that may sound like a little bit TMI, but we are talking about periods today and how that affects our acne. We are going to go over all of the different phases of your cycle because if you didn't know, you have four different phases of your cycle. And not only does your skin need different things in those phases, but your body and your mind need different things in those phases too. And getting ahead of this and working with your cycle can make the entire process so much easier. It doesn't need to be complicated. We are here to make it as simple as possible. As always, there are lots of different links and resources in the show notes, along with a place where you can find me on socials for a daily dose of skincare information, where you can work with me one-on-one so we can achieve your skin goals together, and where you can also shop my shelf, where I have a ton of product that's sorted by skin type, skin concern, different categories, all of that sort of stuff, along with every single product that I will mention in this podcast episode today. Okay, so before we jump into the different phases of the menstrual cycle, a little overview of the hormonal symphony that is the menstrual cycle. So it is orchestrated by the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and the ovaries. Okay, so it's not just our ovaries down there that are calling all the shots. And a typical cycle is about 28 days, and it can range from 24 to 35. Because we're all different, but we can still break everything into two or four categories, okay? You can look at it as either the follicular and the luteal phase, or you can break that down into menstrual, follicular, ovulation, and luteal phases. So your menstrual phase starts the day that you start bleeding, lasts about 5 days for most women, and that is just when you are on your period. As soon as your period ends, that time between your period and your ovulation, which is roughly a week and a half to 2 weeks, that is going to be your follicular phase. Then you have your ovulation phase, which happens about 3 days out of the month. And then after that, from when you're done ovulating to when your period starts again, about 2 weeks, that is your luteal phase. So in that time, the star hormones that we are dealing with here, estrogen, progesterone, and androgens, they are doing different things. They are flowing. It kind of looks like a little bell curve for all of it. And we need to pay attention to what they're doing because those slight changes can make a difference here. Simply because estrogen helps to build collagen, hydrate, and keep the skin plump. Progesterone raises body temperature and oil production. And androgens stimulate sebum and are most noticeable when estrogen dips. Because even as females, we have androgens in our body. The main ones that we are concerned about here are testosterone and DHT. Those are the ones that are going to stimulate our sebum the most and make us more oily and more likely to get clogged pores. Jumping straight into the menstrual phase, again, this is days roughly 1 through 5. This is technically part of your follicular phase, but this is while you are actively on your period. While you're on your period, estrogen and progesterone hit their lowest points, which triggers the bleeding. So your FHS and your LH hormones begin to rise and recruit new follicles. Now onto the skin, which is really, really what we care about here. Your skin barrier is weak. You are dry, you are more sensitive. Just basically everything you feel on the inside with your period, your skin is reflecting that on the outside. Androgens are relatively dominant at this point, not necessarily because testosterone's rising right here, but because estrogen and progesterone have dipped so low that we become more sensitive to androgen activity during our period, which is why we see a lot of new breakouts, deal with more oily skin. Now, of course, things like cramp, fatigue, and sometimes disrupted sleep are common when we're on our period, and iron loss, depending on how heavy our flow is, can also contribute to low energy. Supporting our body in the best way that we can by giving it the food that we need, the rest that we need, is going to be very, very important. We want to be looking for iron-rich foods like spinach, lentils, red meat. We want vitamin C to help boost that absorption of the iron-rich foods. Omega-3s are wonderful for just lowering inflammation in the body. So that's one that I strongly recommend taking all month long. Turmeric is also going to be really great for inflammation. And then ginger can actually help to reduce cramps a little bit. I can't stand the taste of ginger, but if you can, I hope it works wonderfully for you because it's not one that I'm willing to do. When it comes to our skincare, since our barrier is so, so weak here, we do want to be focusing on hydration and barrier repair more than anything. I completely understand that when we're on our period, we're already in our feels and then our skin breaks out. And that whole mental process can then cause us to throw everything at our skin to try to fix it. But our skin is at its weakest point when we are on our period. So it's really not a great idea to throw all of the harsh treatments at our skin when we're dealing with those period breakouts, simply because our skin just can't tolerate it. Be gentle and nurturing with your skin. Half of the issue with hormonal acne is inflammation. So doing what you can to calm and soothe the skin is going to still be very, very beneficial, even though you're not throwing all the acids at it. You can still do something like a sulfur mask. I adore my sulfur mask. I love the one from Murad. Topicals makes a really good one as well. But those are a great option to add in to help to calm inflammation, help with the excess oil, help with the active breakouts, but not be doing too much. This doesn't mean that you have to stop using your exfoliants and your retinoids while you're on your period. This just means that we're not adding in new ones and we're not bumping up the strength or the frequency of use while we are on our period. We're not just going to freak out and throw everything at our skin for the breakouts. We're going to stay consistent with the skincare routine we already have, the amount of exfoliation, the amount of retinoid use our skin is already adjusted to. Of course, daily movement is still going to be important at this time, but we don't need to be doing anything crazy. We don't need to push through the exhaustion. No HIIT workouts while you're on your period. We want like gentle walking, yoga, stretching, very low maintenance movement, but still move every day, please, if you have the ability to. It is so, so, so important for your body, your mind, and your skin. Okay. The other thing that's really important is sleep. Sleep is so incredibly important. It is called beauty sleep for a reason. If you are somebody who you know that around your period, you don't sleep as well, work that into your routine so that you can set yourself up for the best success possible. If you know it's going to take you longer to go to sleep, cool. Try to get in bed a little bit earlier. Try to cut out screens 30 minutes to an hour before bed. No caffeine within 5 hours before bed. We need more sleep at this time when we're on our period too. So trying to get closer to 9 or 10 hours really is ideal. I understand, not always doable. I have a 4-year-old. I haven't gotten a full night of sleep in, I don't know, like 8 years since before I was pregnant with my daughter. So 9 years, it's been a minute. I get it. However, do what you can to set yourself up for success the best you can, okay? So things like magnesium-rich foods, so leafy greens, our body really, really needs all of the deep, rich, leafy greens. But pumpkin seeds are also really beneficial while you're on your period as well. And then having like a set wind-down ritual. If you're a mom, then you know that your baby and your toddler, they're going to go to bed much, much easier if you have them on their set little wind-down routine for like 30 minutes to an hour before, depending on how extra you and your child are and how like intense your wind down routine is. Mine was always really simple for my kids. We would start with a bath, nice calm bath. We would dim the lights a little bit. Then we would read a book, get all snuggly in jammies. And that was, we rock a little bit and lay them down. But they had a set routine every night and it helped their body and their mind get ready for sleep and just train them that this is what we do before we fall asleep. You can do that as an adult too. You can find whatever calms you down. Is it reading? Is it listening to a podcast? I do my skincare, and the way that I do my skincare at night versus in the morning is slightly different to help me get ready for bed. There are little things you can do. Find what works best for you and your routine, and it really does make a difference. These small habits make a really big difference, okay? Now, while we're on our period, a few red flags that are not normal. They may seem common, but that doesn't mean they're normal, okay? So your period pain that is so severe that it interferes with daily life. Yes, it is well known that cramps around your period can be compared to a heart attack because women are badasses and we do it in heels while living a daily life and nobody knows. But if you really are in like that severe of pain, that's not normal. That is not what we want to be doing here. And then also incredibly heavy bleeding. Like you are soaking through pads and tampons every like 2 to 3 hours. That is also not normal and something that you need to talk to your doctor about. Debilitating fatigue beyond mild tiredness. Like if you are that woman who you know that when your period hits, you just need to check out for 4 or 5 days because you are going to be in pain and you are going to be tired and you're going to have no energy to do anything or to talk to anyone. We definitely need to talk to our doctor and get some blood work done and figure out exactly what's going on because those are not normal signs there for our period. all of these can indicate endometriosis, fibroids, thyroid issues, and nutrient deficiencies. It is really important to listen to your body and talk to your doctor when there is something that is off. But moving on from periods, we are now going into our follicular phase. So this is roughly a week to a week and a half. And this is right after your period. This is between your period and your ovulation phase. And in this time, your estrogen rises steadily, thickening the skin, boosting collagen, increasing dermal hydration. Progesterone stays low. Testosterone goes up just a tiny bit, but we're generally not worried about testosterone going up a tiny bit unless our estrogen is off. Because if your testosterone goes up a little bit and your estrogen doesn't rise as much as it should, that will still result in a testosterone dominance. Okay, so we want to make sure that we are supporting our estrogen the best that we can. Because again, estrogen helps with your skin health, boosting collagen, increasing hydration, thickening the skin, supporting your barrier. We need estrogen for skin health. In your follicular phase, that's when many people notice that glow, smoother texture, less oil, pores appear smaller even. Sebum is at its lowest point here, and it's lovely. Your follicular phase is generally when our skin is doing the best. So this is the time that we can start adding in those more intense treatments for treating that acne that may have shown up around our period. We're focusing on soothing, calming, hydrating skincare while we're on our period. But once you're in your follicular phase, like a couple days after your period ends, then our skin is going to start to feel a little bit better. Then we can add in more of the actual treatments to treat that acne. We can go a little bit more intense, still focus on barrier health, but we can do a little bit more in that time. That's also a time that you can try a new product that you've been wanting to, or even go and get a treatment with your esthetician or dermatologist at your spa, med spa, dermatology office, whatever you're doing. We're also going to notice in this time, just like our skin improving, our energy improves as well. Our mood improves thanks to the estrogen effects on serotonin and dopamine. Appetite is usually lower compared to the luteal phase, but we'll get to that in a moment, okay? We still need to be supporting our body with nutrition. We need to be getting as much antioxidants as we can. Think berries, citrus, greens. We want protein for collagen. As women, we should be eating our weight in ounces. So like I weigh 125 pounds. I should be eating 125 grams of protein a day. It is a lot more protein than you think in order to optimally support your body, your cycle, and your skin. So work on getting in more protein. Please keep in mind whey protein is directly related to acne. If you're going the protein powder route or doing protein drinks, protein bars, protein shakes, whatever, it needs to be a plant-based protein because whey protein is such an acne trigger. So if you're currently consuming a lot of whey protein, as in like we're consuming drinks, bars, just anything that has like it's like advertising this is the protein version of it, please make sure that you are looking at the source of the protein. Since our skin is feeling less sensitive during our follicular phase, again, this is the time that we can increase the amount that we are using our exfoliant or our retinoid, or we can try a new treatment or go and get a treatment done in spa. Our barrier can handle a bit more. Still, please don't overdo it. It's still going to be easy to overdo, but our skin can handle a lot more at this time. We can also do more intense exercises. We don't have to just rely on walking, yoga, and stretching. We can actually do more strength training, which is so beneficial for women. And it's not, you're not going to get bulky. To get bulky, it is such a process. My goodness, I promise lifting dumbbells a couple times a week is not going to make you bulky, but lifting is going to be so beneficial for just everything in the female life. If you do not lift, I highly recommend don't get overwhelmed by it. I don't do anything crazy. I follow the Tone It Up videos on YouTube. They are free. They are lovely. Those women are fantastic. Just simply starting there. We don't need to do anything crazy. Now, as far as our red flags for our follicular phase, mid-cycle spotting. If you are spotting outside of your period, that's a red flag. Severe migraines can be triggered by estrogen rise. So if you deal with a lot of migraines, severe migraines during your follicular phase, so in the like week to week and a half after your period, that's something to mention to your doctor. And then that persistent fatigue despite the hormonal boost. If for like a week after your period, you're still feeling that fatigue, that grogginess, that is a good sign that your estrogen is not actually rising the way it should. and you definitely need to talk to your doctor. But then we have our ovulation phase. And for some women, this is the best time of the month. This is seriously, I know the day that I'm ovulating. I've been paying attention to and tracking my cycle for about 3 years now. And it's at the point that, like, I know the moment I wake up on ovulation day, I know I'm ovulating. And that is my favorite day of the month. My routine is irregular, so it's not the same day every month. However, I know when it's happening, and it just makes me so happy. I wake up in such a good mood, and just my hair goes well that day. My skin goes well that day. My outfit is always perfect that day. It is always just such a good day. I love ovulation day, but that is not actually the case for everyone. Some women actually have more period-like ovulations and deal with more period symptoms around that time. But what our hormones are supposed to be doing when we are ovulating, this is around the middle of your cycle, your estrogen peaks, LH surges, and progesterone starts to rise. Your testosterone briefly spikes, but nothing crazy, okay? But with that estrogen being at its peak, that is why we typically feel the absolute best. So in this time, because our estrogen has peaked, our elasticity and radiance is also peaking. Your skin is probably looking the best. However, like I said, not everyone deals with their ovulation day being the best day of the month. Some women experience an uptick in oil production from testosterone if they are more sensitive to androgens. The main ones we're concerned about here are testosterone and DHT. But if you are naturally more sensitive to androgens, then you could experience some, like, an increase in oil and a bit of acne around your ovulation. Again, we still need to support our body with nutrition. So zinc-rich foods, again, pumpkin seeds, oysters actually, and chickpeas support ovulation and skin healing. Cruciferous vegetables also support ovulation beautifully, and so does soy like edamame. Those are the things that we want to be eating right around our ovulation. And while ovulation is typically like technically like 3 days, we want to be supporting that ovulation the couple days before and the couple days after as well. Supporting ovulation is very, very, very important. Ovulation actually is still the best time to try new treatments, to get a treatment done at your spa. If you can time your facials with your ovulation day, that is actually going to give you peak results, just simply because your skin can handle the most at that time. Even if you're dealing with the androgen sensitivity, your skin can still handle the most while you are ovulating. We're still focusing on barrier health, but that is when you can bump it up a little bit if you didn't just bump it up during your follicular phase. We're not trying to bump it up at every phase, okay? As far as our daily movements, we are still the exact same as our follicular phase. Get into that weight training. You can do HIIT workouts at this time, go for longer runs, things like that. Moving our body is so important. But those red flags are also important to pay attention to, because if we have an intense ovulation pain every month, that is absolutely a red flag that you need to talk to your doctor about. Same thing with like mid-cycle bloating or severe PMS-like symptoms. Those you need to talk to your doctor about. Those should not be happening. And odds are if they are, then we can assume that estrogen isn't rising like it should, so that androgen sensitivity is even stronger at this time. And also keep in mind, please pay attention to any sort of discharge that you find on your panties. I know this isn't the most, like, you know, the prettiest conversation, but it is a really, really important one. Your discharge tells you a lot about what is going on in the body. We're not trying to scare anyone here, but it really is important to get on top of these things and pay attention to them. But when we are done ovulating, we then move into the week and a half to 2 weeks of the luteal phase. I have such a love-hate relationship with my luteal phase, because mentally, I am feeling it every single time. It's also known as the closet cleanout phase, because it's one of those, like, you're not feeling social. You're not necessarily feeling your best. You may be a little bit more bloated. We may have some mood swings going on. But if you can pick a project and just go at it, it is one of the best times to just, like, clean out your closet, reorganize your shoes, things like that. That is, like, one of the best things to do during your luteal phase. And that's also one of my favorite things to do anyway, is just cleaning things out and organizing them. Love, hate relationship. But the reason that we're dealing with all of that is because our progesterone is dominant in this time. We have a small estrogen peak and then the sharp decline of estrogen before our period. So if there's no pregnancy, both hormones drop right before bleeding begins. And just like with when we were talking about our menstrual phase, the very first phase we talked about, testosterone isn't necessarily peaking at this time or rising at this time, but because of estrogen and progesterone dropping so low, we then will feel more of that androgen sensitivity, which is where a lot of the mood swings and anxiety come from the increased testosterone. So we do need to pay attention to that sort of thing. And it makes dealing with these phases so much better when you know mentally, oh, I'm not crazy if we just want to be antisocial for 1 week every month or 2 weeks every month. That is perfectly okay. Do what you need to do to support you the best during these times. And then with our skin, since progesterone is dominant and estrogen is shrinking by the day, we are going to have more sebum production, more oil production that is going to show up more. Acne flares, clogged pores, and oiliness are common. We're going to be dealing with a weakened barrier as estrogen drops, leading to more irritation. So we're going to be dealing with more inflammation and irritation in skin as well. Pigmentation issues like melasma, which is actually a hormonally driven pigmentation issue, can get worse in our luteal phase because of that lack of estrogen. Oftentimes when women are getting closer to menopause, they are going to notice more melasma coming out simply because of the lack of estrogen. Now, not every woman deals with melasma, often referred to as a pregnancy mass, simply because it is a hormonally driven hyperpigmentation. But it's one of those things that we always have to be on top of, because it's not like a pigmentation from an acne scar where you work on it until it's gone and then you're not worried about it coming back. Melasma can flare anytime you have a shift in hormones, like your luteal phase. During this time, our body is going through a higher metabolic rate, cravings, bloated, breast tenderness, mood swings, and PMS symptoms. Doesn't that sound like fun? Progesterone also raises your core temperature, raises your body basal cell temperature, which is actually what kind of makes sleep trickier. Your body needs to cool down in order to fall asleep. And so when progesterone raises that core temperature, that is what actually makes it harder to fall asleep. Or you wake up in the middle of the night in hot sweats and then you have a hard time falling back asleep because you're just too hot, even though you're naked laying under the fan. We've all been there. But it's one of those things that's just simply what our body's doing at the moment. And again, knowing this information makes it a lot easier to deal with mentally. Again, supporting our body, but this time we get some complex carbs. Again, supporting our body, we need things like complex carbs, lean proteins, healthy fats, magnesium and B vitamins can reduce cramps and mood swings. Calcium and vitamin D can lessen PMS symptoms. Zinc can reduce both acne and PMS symptoms. And omega-3 support inflammation and mood. So again, those supplements that will support you the best at this time. Magnesium, B vitamins. Be careful with B vitamins because some of them can increase acne in some people. It depends on the person. And the B vitamin. Not all B vitamins are evil. No, B vitamins aren't evil. They are actually a very necessary nutrient. It's just when we're taking things like a biotin supplement or drinking a bunch of energy drinks or things like that, and we're taking in so much B6 and B12, then that is what can trigger more acne in some of us that are genetically acne prone and deal with things like hyperretention keratosis. So that means that you are producing too much keratin and your skin cells cycling faster and you are getting more clogged pores because your skin isn't exfoliating naturally. That is what happens with people who are genetically acne prone. So B vitamins in excess can cause issues with that. However, not all B vitamins. And that doesn't mean that you just can't take B vitamins. We just don't want to take like 1,000 times the daily value, right? So again, supplements that can help in this time. Magnesium, B vitamins, calcium, vitamin D, zinc, and omega-3s. Those are going to be your most beneficial.
This is also going to be a great time to mention that ClearStim has their Mind Body Skin supplement. And if we are looking for kind of like an all-in-one acne supplement, that is my absolute favorite one. They do have two different versions. They have one with 5-HTP and one without 5-HTP. Now, 5-HTP is the precursor to serotonin. They added that in so that it can help to counteract excess cortisol by increasing serotonin. Helps with so many other wonderful things as well. But if you are on an SSRI medication, then you have to take the version 2 that does not have 5-HTP. Both versions do have vitamin A, which means they are not going to be safe to take while you are pregnant or nursing. If you are listening to this podcast right as it comes out, ClearStim is running a flash sale on Monday, September 29th and Tuesday, September 30th. I'll have the code in the show notes, but it will get you 23% off, which is going to be fantastic if you are wanting to try out any of their supplements or any of their skincare. I adore all of their products. Please keep in mind that while some people can see results with their Mind Body Skin acne supplement within the first 2 weeks, most people will see their best results at that 3-month mark. Please talk to your doctor before adding in any supplements, especially if you have any of the red flags that we have already mentioned. You need to talk to your doctor before adding anything in to make sure it's going to be right for you. Yes, zinc can reduce both acne and PMS symptoms, but you can overdo it with zinc and cause your androgen activity to skyrocket. It is important to have the right amount of these supplements for your body specifically. In the last two phases, our skin was doing so well with the increase of estrogen. It was glowy. It was resilient. It was fantastic. But now we're going to start to have that decline with our luteal phase. So with our skincare, we want to work on balancing that oil in your luteal phase. I cannot stress this enough. Please use a sulfur mask. Sulfur. It is amazing for your luteal phase because it's not going to be super irritating and strong. It's going to help with excess oil production. It's going to help with inflammation. It's going to help with acne. It is going to be amazing. I adore my sulfur mask and use it all the time. I personally love the Murad Rapid Relief Acne Sulfur Mask. That is one of my absolute favorites. It has 1.5% salicylic acid in it, which is amazing for, again, balancing that oil production. But another great option is the Topicals Clearly Mask. Instead of salicylic acid, that one has azelaic acid. So if your skin is more on the sensitive side or your skin is more on the dry side and we are wanting to not use a salicylic acid, the Topicals Clearly Mask is going to be a great option there as well. Both are fantastic. Murad is my go-to. And I can't imagine another sulfur mask like beating that one out. But if a brand comes out with one, I will try every sulfur product on the market that I can get my hands on. So sulfur is just one of my favorite ingredients for skincare, specifically for these scenarios right here. But highly recommend work it into your routine 1 to 3 days a week. Very, very gentle. You can use it at the same time, generally, depending on the sensitivity of your skin, as other exfoliants and retinoids. My favorite way to use it is actually in the morning. I will wash my face, put on my sulfur mask. I spot treat with it. I don't do it all over my face, but I personally don't need to. If you need to, you do you, boo-boo. And put it on, leave it for 5 to 10 minutes, rinse it away, go with the rest of your skincare like normal. Super easy. If you have the time in the morning, do it 1 to 3 times a week, and it will make your skin on your luteal phase so much better. In this time during our luteal phase, we are also going to work back into the lower impact exercises, go back to moderate cardio, things like Pilates and yoga, and just listen to your fatigue cues. If your body is telling you that it's tired and it needs rest, then let it be tired and give it the rest it needs. That's okay. We don't have to be going all the time in order to see results. Sometimes slowing down and nurturing our body, our skin, our mind is actually what's going to show you the biggest leap forward in result, not just pushing it to its brink at all times. Since we also have that increase in body core temperature, focusing on that sleep is going to be very, very important. Again, I know that I mostly talked about sleep in the menstrual phase. It is still important in your follicular and your ovulatory phases. It's just not going to be as difficult to get a good night of sleep. But having a good night of sleep every night or as many nights as you can in the week is going to be very, very important. Again, it's called beauty sleep for a reason. Your body completely resets and refreshes when you are sleeping. And if you don't give it the amount of sleep that it needs or the quality of sleep that it needs, it's really hard for your body to refresh. You know how when a piece of technology isn't working properly, the go-to advice is to turn it off and turn it back on or unplug it and plug it back in? That's literally what sleep is doing for us. We're just turning off for a little bit so we can turn back on and work properly. We need to do that. It is important. So red flags during your luteal phase, again, that severe PMS. If you know that you become a scary person when you're like otherwise Snow White throughout the month, yeah, you should probably talk to your doctor about that. Mood swings, rage, anxiety, things like that are normally increased during this time because of the shifts in hormones in our body, but it shouldn't be severe. It should not be affecting your day-to-day life much. Migraines also, in every luteal phase, if the week to 2 weeks before your period, you know that you are getting some intense migraines, that's another thing. We need to actually talk to our doctor about that as well. Acne that worsens significantly with each cycle is also a sign that something is off. Most likely our estrogen is low.
which is why when we were talking about ovulatory phase, we have to support healthy ovulation. It is so, so, so incredibly important. And it will, I mean, if it, we don't have healthy ovulation, we don't have healthy estrogen production, it is going to affect every other phase of the cycle and cause acne to worsen significantly, because without that estrogen balancing those androgens, the androgens surge. And if we already have a sensitivity to those androgens, again, testosterone and DHT specifically, that is where things are actually going to serious issues and where what people call hormonal acne is going to come about. We are going to dive deeper into like specifically hormonal acne in just a moment though. And then intense bloating or breast pain. Those are also things that we need to talk to our doctor about. None of these things, just because they're like common enough that you know people who deal with all these things, that doesn't mean it's normal. That doesn't mean your body should be dealing with all these things. And unfortunately, there's such a lack of education around female health and female cycles that most of us don't know these things. I personally didn't know that there were four phases to our cycle until I was like 26, 27 years old. And like personally looking into these things, because I had personal issues that I needed to figure out and was dealing with a bunch of acne. So, you know, it's one of those things that we need to educate ourselves on these, and we need to pay attention to what's going on in our body, and we need to communicate with those things to our doctor. And if your doctor is dismissing you, as doctors often do to women, then just push harder. Advocate for yourself as much as you can. Or if you're a mom and you've got a teen daughter who's dealing with things, advocate for her as much as you can. It really is important. These things should not be swept under the rug. Oftentimes, there's small changes that can fix it. It's not like most of the time when we have something that's thrown off like this, we need to immediately jump on all sorts of medications and therapies and this and that. Oftentimes, it really is a matter of some simple lifestyle and habit changes, maybe looking into some supplements you can take, focusing on the right amount of sleep and exercise. Things like that can really, really, really make a difference here during your entire cycle. And it is going to be a matter of that. So yes, advocate for yourself, for your doctor, but mostly so that you can get the blood work done so that you can figure out where your hormones actually are. Please keep in mind that normal range of the blood work that comes back. Speaking for the U.S. only, I cannot speak outside of the U.S. because I have not seen what results look like outside of the United States. But in the United States, your normal range is women between 18 and 85. At 18, your hormones are not near the same as what they should be at 85. Please take those blood results that you get and put it into whatever AI that you like to use. Give it your height, your weight, your age, any medications or supplements you're on, any symptoms you're dealing with, and let it analyze that. No, it's not going to be a guarantee for anything, but that gives you a much better, deeper dive result, unless you are wanting to work with a holistic practitioner who will generally take a much deeper look into your actual blood work. But don't take that like, oh, I'm within the normal range, so everything's fine. Trust your symptoms, not the normal range. Now, if you're not dealing with any of the red flags that I mentioned, but we are still dealing with acne, can it still be hormonal acne? Can acne be the only visible symptom of a hormonal imbalance? Yes, it can. And even without irregular cycles, heavy bleeding, or mood issues, the skin can be kind of like the canary in the coal mine for hormone health, okay? Research shows that elevated androgens, reduced estrogen, and increased sensitivity of the sebaceous glands can all manifest as acne, sometimes without any other textbook symptoms. If acne persists despite good skincare, it is worth exploring hormone testing, blood sugar balance, gut health, and stress management. So this means that acne may appear even when everything else seems normal. I know you can't see me, but I'm putting air quotes around normal. But this is where it gets deeper, okay? Other symptoms in the body, like your gut, blood sugar regulation, sleep, stress response, all feed into hormone imbalance and directly influence the skin. These all can be each their own podcast episode, but I'm going to very quickly touch on each one of these and how they affect the skin, because oftentimes when we are calling our acne hormonal acne, that it can be any one of these symptoms. It doesn't necessarily mean that your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone are thrown off. Hormonal acne is not an official term, and it just is addressing your acne by what you believe the root cause is. Technically, the acne that we're dealing with that we're calling hormonal acne is typically technically called inflammatory acne. If it's just clogged pores, it's non-inflammatory acne. But if it is deeper into the skin, if it's red, if it's pussy, if it's painful, things like that, yes, that is inflammatory acne. So you really only have two different types. You have inflammatory acne and non-inflammatory acne. So not going deep on that, because again, that could be a whole episode within itself. But hormonal acne doesn't always mean it's technically the three main sex hormones that we've been talking about. It can be any of the things I'm about to talk about, okay? Including your gut health. And the hill that I'm willing to die on currently is the fact that the majority of women who claim that they have hormonal acne actually have an issue in their gut that they need to balance out. The gut is central to hormone metabolism. A healthy microbiome actually helps to process and eliminate excess estrogen. So if your gut is thrown off, your hormones will be thrown off. Addressing just the hormone aspect of it doesn't always give us the full result that we're looking for if we're not also addressing the gut, which is why I mentioned nutrition in every single phase of the cycle. When our gut bacteria is imbalanced or we're dealing with leaky gut, estrogen recirculates. That can contribute to acne, PMS, or irregular cycles. Gut inflammation can also drive systemic inflammation, making breakouts more severe. Your skin hates inflammation. Inflammation anywhere in the body will result in unhappy skin. That is just the fact of it. So anything we can do to lower inflammation altogether is going to be beneficial. And the majority of that starts in the gut. On the same lines, we've got blood sugar balance. So every time your blood sugar spikes and crashes, insulin rises. Chronically high insulin increases IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1, which stimulates oil glands and androgen activity. This is why when diets are heavy in sugar and refined carbs, they are so strongly linked to acne, and why balancing your blood sugar with proper protein, fiber, and healthy fats can calm the skin dramatically. I'm not saying you have to cut out all like processed foods, fast food, sugary sodas, things like that, but make it such a small portion of your diet that we're not concerned about that being the trigger for your acne. I've already talked about sleep so much in this episode, but poor sleep disrupts our circadian rhythm, reduces melatonin, and raises cortisol levels. Cortisol is our main stress hormone and directly stimulates oil glands and increases inflammation. Sleep is so important. And when we're dealing with long sleep deprivation, it also dysregulates our sex hormones like estrogen and progesterone, feeding into more breakouts. Again, it's called beauty sleep for a reason. And when we are dealing with excess cortisol, when we're dealing with high stress, stress activates the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which increases cortisol and adrenaline. This not only ramps up sebum production, but also depletes micronutrients like zinc and B vitamins that are crucial for both hormone regulation and skin healing. Chronic stress can also disrupt ovulation, creating progesterone imbalance that worsen premenstrual acne. Okay, now I'm not talking about like, oh, you had two stressful days last week because Steve at work was an asshole again. No, I'm talking about like if we are living in that fight or flight for like, you know, a month, for a couple weeks at least. If we are just living in that fight or flight state, that is when all of the stress is going to affect us in this. And then of course, we can't forget about our thyroid hormones. That regulates our metabolism, cell turnover, and oil gland activity. So hypothyroidism, which is an underactive thyroid, often shows up in the skin as dryness, dullness, or even adult acne because of slowed cellular renewal. Subclinical hypothyroidism can also contribute to estrogen dominance and low progesterone, both of which shift the skin's balance. On the flip side, hyperthyroidism, which is an overactive thyroid, can make the skin thinner and oilier, making it more sensitive and more likely to get clogged. So thyroid health is going to be really, really important here too. So those hormones are T3 and T4. Getting those checked out is going to be very important. So while acne might be the only visible symptom, it is often the tip of the iceberg if your skin is persistently breaking out despite a solid topical routine. It is worth asking deeper questions. How's my gut health? Am I balancing my blood sugar? Am I sleeping and managing stress? Have I checked my thyroid or other hormone labs recently? The skin is never random. It is a reflection of its internal environment. Now, while you could take a medication for all of these, spironolactone is one of the most common medications to take. I do strongly encourage you to look into everything that I have said. See how it can relate to your daily lifestyle habits. How is this going to affect you the most in your daily lifestyle habits? Where can you honestly make some changes? Because if we're not willing to make changes in how we're moving our body, our sleep quality, the foods we're consuming, but we're willing to take a medication, we shouldn't expect those results to last for very long or to last after we stop the medication.
Now, please keep in mind that the choice to go on any sort of medication is a very personal preference and something that is going to be very, very, very beneficial for some people. The only thing that I'm saying here is I implore you to look into all of your options, because the point still stands that if we're not also addressing our lifestyle habits and we're not doing what we can to have our mind, our body as healthy as possible, then adding on the medications is just going to be a band-aid. If the medications are needed for your specific situation in order to help get you over the bump while we are working on internal habits, that's fantastic. That is very much a tool that can be used. But just please, please, please think about every single aspect of this before you jump straight to a medication as just a band-aid. I have heard so many women say that their dermatologist told them that the only option was to go on some sort of medication that they did not want to go on. That is not your only option. Please do your own research and look into all of these different options available. I am not anti-medication. I am just anti-medication being the very first option we try.
However, there are things we can do without jumping straight to a medication to heal our acne. The majority of it comes from within, paying attention to your body and supporting your body through every phase it's going through.
Before we completely wrap up today's episode, I do want to mention that as of Wednesday, October 1st, which is this coming Wednesday from when I'm posting this, we only have 90 days left until the end of the year. Do you know how long it takes to see real results with your skincare? About 90 days, which means if you get started now, you could have a total skin glow up before the new year. But don't worry, don't let that overwhelm you. I am planning on walking you through every single step of the way, week by week, until New Year's Eve. This is going to be the Clear by New Year challenge, and I am so excited to get started with you. Make sure to grab your Clear by New Year tracker completely free in the show notes and follow along, because every Wednesday we are going to be tackling a different aspect of a full skin reset. This is not about spending a bunch of money or buying a bunch of products or even buying anything from me. This is completely free. I just want to help you walk into 2026 as confident as you can, because you deserve that.
But that is going to be it for today's episode. We got a longer one here, but it was a lot of information. I hope you enjoyed listening to it just as much as I've enjoyed recording it. And don't forget to leave a review with your skincare questions that I can answer the question in the next episode. But I hope you have a lovely, wonderful day, night, evening, afternoon, year, life, because you deserve it. And don't forget to reapply your sunscreen.